So after I got out of college, I was drafted, Korean War. And for some amazing reason, I got into the Signal Corps because, you know, if you know radio, they make you a cook. You know the old story about that? So they had aptitude tests on the first, you know, two or three days. And one of them was an aptitude for learning Morse code. Well, and they would teach you three letters, I, S, and H. And then they would test you on it. See how I got a perfect score because I had been operating in CW on a ham radio for three or four years before that. And I could do about 20 words a minute. So the little three-letter test was not, so I got into the Signal Corps. Well, I really had a good time in the Signal Corps because after they sent me down to Camp Gordon in Georgia, which is now Fort Gordon Signal Corps School, and I was going to be trained as a high-speed radio operator. The thing is, it takes 6 months to get somebody to qualify at 28 words a minute in code. I already knew 20 words a minute, and I didn't like Georgia at all in the summer. Instead of 6 months, I got out like in 2 months because I just didn't want to be there. So I just qualified. And so they sent me to Japan. Well, I was very fortunate because we got to the base there, and this was in Yokohama. And this was like 6-7 years after the war, after World War II. It was fairly new, the camp, and they wanted to put up a Mars. Some lieutenant who was a ham wanted to build a Mars station, military amateur radio system, so we could run the station and run phone patches, free phone calls back to the States. So he commandeered a 2.5-ton truck that was a mobile radio teletype and radio telephone station, and he said, put me in charge of it, fortunately, because he knew of some of my background. He said, okay, take anything you want out of this truck and put it into a shack and we'll start operating. So after about a month or so, we pulled out everything from the truck, put it into a shack, and had a wonderful time for 18 months operating ham radio and did a lot of construction of the ancillary equipment, the console and all the switching and all that. And that sort of gave me an additional, you know, background in electronics. So I got out of the Army after 2 years, and I was going to follow my my educational goal of getting into radio broadcasting. And so I worked in a couple of small radio stations in Trenton, New Jersey, and in Boston. Very small stations, and I was sort of a jack of all trades kind of thing. You announced and you wired microphone, you did everything. Yeah, it was called a combo man. They called a guy who had a first phone ticket because, according to FCC regulations, you had to have an FCC licensed person on the site at all times.
Okay.
So these small stations, not wanting to pay very much to their employees, love to have a person who could do some announcing and also fulfill the FCC requirement of a licensed guy on the site. So I usually got a job at these little radio stations. After a while, after 2 years of it, I really got sick of it because I was a young guy, and being low man on a totem pole on a radio station, I always had the night shift, which was very damaging to my social life. So I decided this is not for me. And during, like, weekends, I would drive back to New York, and I would occasionally see my mentor, this guy Herb. And he told me, he said, Len, you know, I've been writing articles for this new magazine called Electronics Illustrated. And again, I don't know, he encouraged me. He said, why don't you write some? You make some money. And you like to do it anyway. But during the time I was away from New York at working these small radio, I would come back fairly frequently because it was fairly close. And I would go up to WINS and talk to him. And that's where he told me about this new magazine called Electronics Illustrated, and that I should write for them. And I did. I wrote probably an article a month, because the editor told me that they had two types of articles, construction and feature in electronics. And they always were looking for construction articles. There weren't that many people who could do them. They had plenty of feature writers, no problem with that. So after about, I would say some months, I forget how long, the editor offered me a job. And I found out later on, he knew very little. He was a very good magazine guy, but he knew very little about electronics, and he needed somebody with some kind of background to assign articles, come up with ideas, and, you know, check on the technical aspect of it. So at that point, as I mentioned before, I was just sick of broadcasting. I didn't want to be in it anymore because of the, you know, the hours. And also, it's a very competitive field if you want to, you know, in terms of upward mobility. It's so competitive in the non-technical end of broadcasting. It's ridiculous. So I took the job and came back to New York and worked in his office in Midtown Manhattan. It was Fawcett Publications. This would have been about 1960. So I knew nothing about magazine, about editorial magazine work, and the editor, another mentor, you know, because he needed my services, my technical background, so he really taught me the publishing aspect of things, about articles and headlines and writing captions and that kind of thing. I had a, you know, pretty good liberal arts background from my college degree, but I didn't know the specialized knowledge of publishing. You know, the printing processes and working with artists and all that. So I learned that all at